Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing? Some of us are trying to overcome the end of summer cold, but at least it's nice to see you here this morning. Please participate as you're able. Gentlemen, our most recent study in our Neighbors of Hope Life Change program has been the topic of forgiveness. And we spent some time looking at trying to identify forgiveness, including five things that forgiveness is, five things that forgiveness is not. And as of late, we're really engaged in the eight components that make up forgiveness. So kind of parallel that study without speaking exclusively on that study for today's edition of Word Made Flesh, I'd like to look at an Old Testament scripture that comes from the book of Deuteronomy. It's chapter 30. We're going to look at verses 15 through 20. So if I could have someone read that for us, that'd be great. Thank you.
See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to keep the love of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you, or to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Thank you. All right, now, it's this scripture, particularly verse 19, is oftentimes referred or referenced here at Neighbors of Hope by myself. This is kind of it in a nutshell, gentlemen. Make a decision. Life, death, blessings, curses, in, out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we go on. You just make that decision. I think anybody can make the decision. I think we always make the decision. But it takes discipline and hard work to honor that decision. And that's a daily, 24/7, 365, rest of our life, work effort. That being said, let's just get some initial responses. When you hear this scripture read, what jumps out at you?
Well, down here it says, now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Well, I got kids. And, earlier on in Deuteronomy, it talks about after you've had children and grandchildren. And it almost recites the same thing. Mm-hmm. Blessings and curses and whatnot. It's after that. Hold fast. Because if not only are you affecting you, or you're affecting your children. You have a whole new list of responsibilities. And here I sit. Now I'm choosing life. Even though my kids are out there, they have no choice to choose life. I participated in that creation. You know what I mean? They didn't have a choice. They don't know any better. I have a choice. I've always had a choice. Yeah, and it's I don't know how to articulate it because I see it visually more than I do in words. But it's he talks about crossing the Jordan and entering possessing the land. It's taking ownership. The land I've been given. The land that's been promised to me. What I've been entrusted. What's been entrusted to me. My children have been entrusted to me. I just have to do it from a distance right now. It sucks. I got to do it.
Yeah, and that day will come. And I think, this goes back to, it ends with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a lot of stories prior to this one. But there's been a promise made, and God's going to be faithful to God's promise. Right? So we're talking about the promised land here. But I also like the reference to children, as we're talking about generations of future. And so in order to have a prosperous, a fruitful future, we have to make the life choice. It seems common sense, right? We look around this room here as we're recording this, and if we all chose today's suicide, there's not much future there. How does death impact the future of your children? We know how it would impact our lives immediately, right? But it also impacts other people around us, which I think that's part of the moral, ethical argument against suicide. But nonetheless, just as a real example of but the life choice is really about how it impacts our other relationships.
It does say this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you.
All of creation.
So you got to look at life. You got to look what's happening. Historically, you got to look what happens to people around you. You can base a lot of things on what has already been.
Yes.
They're not going to lie. History is not going to, in a sense, history of things does not lie.
Yeah, and God's calling God's creation, which is a creation of life. So you can talk about the animal life, you can talk about plant life, you know, you can talk about all kinds of life. Air is life-giving.
Right? I think that calling too is saying it's calling to truly live, not just to live, not just to exist. Like you said, it's a daily thing. And death, it's everything. For me, like every day, that's discipline, it's hard work. Staying consistent, obedient, even music to listen to. Speaking death. Even the things I say, when I tell a lie, it could be the littlest things you think we overlook. It's not life, you know. The way you even look at things and situations, so when he says something that kind of makes me angry, I'm not holding on to it, it's still death. Like, it's not simple, clear-cut. It's an initial choice, take this, take that, but then you have to walk it out and live it every day. To me, like, you know, that's the good fight. That's that life. You're fighting for your life every day. And you're trying to give others life by the way you act, the way you treat them, the things you say, what you listen to, what you watch on TV. You're showing them a different way of life. Truly live.
Yeah.
That one voice.
Yeah, and I think both what you and Randy said there, Zach, parallels exactly the connection I would like to make with our study of forgiveness. All right, so when we opt to engage in the act of forgiveness, it's really a life choice, which comes back to the relationships.
Yeah.
We see that lived out in the life narrative of Jesus. We see that throughout Scripture, in a sense, the life narrative of God. So forgiveness in itself is a life choice. I agree with you that I think there are times where, you know, if we're carrying around all this bitterness, this resentment, this, you know, anger, and
we'll never heal and get better.
Yeah, the desire for retaliation, all these type of things. Those are death choices that we're carrying inside of us, because they prevent us from forgiveness. They prevent us from engaging in life-giving processes. Now, my guess is everybody in this room, as well as our listening audience, to some degree, we have those little bits of death in us, right? I mean, there are times we all have a little resentment. There are times we all have a little bitterness. We all have a little anger, right? Even hatred or whatever, all right? But then the hard work you're talking about is, well, how do I release this? I really want to be a participant in the advancement of life. So I have to process this. Forgiveness is one vehicle in which we do that. Were you going to interject something there? You kind of look like you're anxious to share your vocals with the listening audience, so we'll give you front stage here.
Up until now, I would say I've always kind of played the victim, or just kind of taken on that victim aspect. Always blaming others and not taking ownership for my actions. And
well, we can be victims, but we can also victimize ourselves. But it's like I'll say, the forgiveness is not forgetting. And if you take the, like, forgive is to give, and forget is to get. So what do you get for getting hurt? You get emotional damage. What do you give for giving? Well, it's giving. You're supposed to give it.
Yeah.
You can only receive it. You can never take it. You can't take forgiveness. You can't steal it. You can't take love. You got
to
give it.
I like what you bring up, you know, that we tend to see ourselves as victims. Right? Why do you think we kind of cling to our position as victims?
We're used to it.
Yeah.
And we get an intention for it. We always got somebody patting us on the back, say it's going to be okay, that we strive for that.
And endorses us to seek relief from other means.
I think particularly with our addiction background, and that's exactly it. It gives me permission to engage. After all, I'm the one that got hurt, so therefore it's okay. You know?
Excuse.
It wasn't fair. Go ahead and drink that pint.
Yeah, you deserve that. It's so in a sense, it's a mind trick, and I don't think God wants us living in mind trick environments because it's a falsity. It's not reality. It's not truthfulness, and so we have to be rigorously, ruthlessly honest with ourselves and speak truth and love even to ourselves. Right? That hey, yes, I was the victim. I was hurt by whatever this action is. What I do with that pain now is my responsibility. And if I'm choosing life, One of the responsibilities may be forgiving, so that I don't carry around these little glimpses of all these death emotions, bitterness, resentment, anger, jealousy, envy. I mean, Paul gives us a whole list of these things. You know, these will not be in the kingdom of heaven because they are really representatives of death, right? Or at least a death mindset, a death consciousness, a death spirit. Okay.
Yeah, I would say, but following God is difficult. He says, obey me, and that's what makes it hard. Because he realizes there's other gods that will endorse your behavior. He says, because if you go worship these other gods, you know, like, but if you're going to obey me, it's like these other gods will endorse what you want to do, but that really ends in death.
Yeah,
you call them a god.
Yeah, and sometimes for us, the god is the bartender.
Crack dealer.
The drug dealer. Exactly. You know, here, yeah, she, it's all right, ma'am. You know what she did to you was awful. Right? So here, you know, fire this up. Ow. Yeah, we can't go down those type of roads. But I agree. When God says obey, what he's really saying is, you know, stand in alignment with the way of life. After all, that's what I'm doing. I am the God of life. So anytime we choose not to, where are we? But that's discipleship. I mean, we just have to be honest that, you know, we're not going to answer all this in one day. It's a lifelong journey, but let us not be naive and think that somehow we're exempt.
And we may stumble along that journey.
Yeah, sure. And the stumbles, after a while, we can see the stumbles as actually being blessings in disguises because this reveals to us that we're not quite there. We still have some things to work on. All right, any closing thoughts? Do you have anything you'd like to add there, Mr.?
Sickness. With the whole victim thing, because a lot of people in victims, they kind of play the whole "woe is me" or "what can I do to get the kind of like slip through the cracks," but at the same time, not take advantage of others and take advantage of the fact that they've been hurt by others. So whether it be to get money out of somebody so you can use it to your advantage, if you have an addiction, so addicts, you know, we've been victimized. We played the victim card really well. It's like, okay, don't have $20 for this, you know, little thing I want over here to go get high with. And so I'm going to play with the card. These people I don't know, tell them, oh my God, I'm so stressed. I play the whole take advantage and go get your stuff. And we really do then turn our drug dealers and et cetera into our gods.
I think Matt's right that there are times, the way it enforces and enables our addiction, right? If we see ourselves as being the victim, we're the ones that have been hurt, we tend to forget how we have hurt people.
We need to grow up. Stop playing that.
And we forget that we've hurt people. Then we're perpetrators of the death, right? And we don't like that identity. So we like clinging to the victim because that's not my fault, and it justifies my behavior.
For me, I always look for a reassurance. It's kind of the same way we seek out affirmation, attention, all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
When I read scripture, I get reassurance. You know, and just for the scripture you read today, this is one of those assurances. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. He made an oath. He doesn't lie.
No, that's why I will say,
it means he's participating too. He's just making an open stand.
And here, you know, what's really beautiful about this is theologically we say that God's sovereign, which means God can do what God wants to do. Because of who God is. If God wants to pull the plug and not be faithful to God's oath, God can do that and there's nothing you can say against it.
God.
All right? But we don't see God doing that. We see God remaining faithful to God's promise. So we say that that's endless. And then when we did a little study on grace, that mercy we see bestowed upon us that we haven't been, but he still hasn't given up on. Because God's a God of life and he wants us to have that life. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your sharing with our listening audience this day on this edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you could become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.